Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of Inside Golf Podcast is brought to you by RickRunGood.com. All of the stats, tools, and info that I'll be referencing on the podcast can be found over at RickRunGood.com. We actually just had some major changes to the site that we just unveiled. There are 23 new stats added, including good drive percentage, opportunities gained, strokes gained total on, you know, fast greens, slow greens, a bunch of different types of courses in terms of length. We worked really hard on this. When I say we, basically Rick, I gave my input on what I thought would be important in terms of the stuff that I used to break down golf courses and build my models, but really it was Rick and the tech team that is responsible for all of this. And what was really important to me is I've been building models on my own using Excel for years, and I wanted to get the site in a position where there wasn't a statistic that I used in my own model building that we didn't have access to on the site. And we are nearing that reality closer and closer every day, especially with this new update. I'm really excited for you guys to check it out, particularly if you guys make models. I think that this will be very helpful for you. I know it has been, at least for me, and these were pretty much all the stuff that I think is important to look at on a week-to-week basis. We now pretty much have everything. So there's that. There's a new ownership projection tool that we have as well, where we track ownership and we show the changes in ownership projections every single time Mike updates the ownership. So for example, he'll do his first run through on like a Monday night, and then it'll show the changes Monday through Wednesday every single time he updates ownership. I think this is really cool in terms of helping predict where ownership is going. This one actually wasn't my idea. It was my friend Kyle's idea, who he's been on the podcast a couple of times. But yeah, I think what happens a lot of the time is there's a lot of late moves in ownership. This is something that I talk about often in my Wednesday morning article. And there's only so much I can do with the Wednesday morning article because, you know, a lot of the sharp players are still building their lineups late on Wednesday evening. So the latest ownership projections, for example, that Mike will do, if they come out on Wednesday late afternoon or Wednesday evening, you can look at those latest ownership projections and still get a sense potentially of who's going to come in actually a little bit higher based on how a certain player is trending. This is just something that we noticed and thought would be a great addition to the site, just to get a little bit more accurate on our ownership projections and help that aspect of the DFS game. So there's all of those new stats added, the new ownership tool, import-export capabilities as well, where users can now export the weights and golfer information to create their own calculations. Then you can import it back into the model to run lineups. So there are a bunch of new changes that Rick has been working super hard on and that we are super proud of. Not only do you get all those new tools, but you also get all of my premium articles, my Monday course breakdown, Tuesday season-long fantasy rankings. Fantasy season-long golf is back for the Valero this week. And my Wednesday final DraftKings thoughts article, where I break down the entire DraftKings slate, give the latest projected ownership on Wednesday afternoon. I break down the weather. I give my core plays. It gives you absolutely all the information that you need before you build your lineups. And if you sign up, I guess, for the weekly pass on Wednesday, you'll get the final thoughts article and all the previous Valero stuff, not only for this week, but you'll get everything through the Masters. So sign up today using promo code Andy. That is the important part if you want to help me out. And we would love to have you as part of the team. Really proud of the new changes to the site. Now is as good of a time as ever to sign up. If you've been thinking about it, if you've been listening to this podcast, if you like this podcast, give it a shot. I'm sure you probably take golf betting or golf DraftKings or just golf information in general fairly seriously if you've been following along with me on this podcast. And I don't know what I would do without all of the tools at rickrungood.com. So sign up today using promo code Andy. All right. Coming up on this podcast, myself, Boston Capper of the Golf Gambling Podcast, breaking down the betting board for the Valero Texas Open, do a little match play recap, and of course, we talk a little Masters as well. This is a fun one. We are in my favorite time of year. It's getting warmer outside. We're entering the best stretch of golf of the year. So without further ado, let's bring on Capper. All right, Boston Capper's here, Golf Gambling Podcast. Just an absolute lifesaver. I was telling you, you came in at the 11th hour. Chris Powers on the men from a bachelor party, decides to tell me the day of. Actually, I asked him pretty late. I honestly, I've gone from asking guests to do this podcast like 3 weeks in advance to asking my friends to do it like 3 hours beforehand.
Yeah. It was a little more than 3 hours, but yeah, I get it.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How about you?
We did the players, but it's been, we haven't done just you and I for a bit. I'm good. You know, it's getting warmer. What's the best time to live in Florida? Is it starting? Because now it's gorgeous. Huh?
From like Christmas, most years, like Christmas to like, middle match, like St. Patty's Day is usually the cutoff where it starts getting like May. It's like oppressively hot. You're like, I can't believe this is hot in fucking May. How am I going to make it through a summer? And then you make it through the summer.
Are you starting to get that Bermuda, or is it still some overseeded action, or is the Bermuda starting to show its teeth?
Pretty much all Bermuda at this point. We had like, it was unseasonably cold, and I say cold like 60. You know what I mean? So it kept it dormant for a little longer than normal, but yeah, it's pretty much all Bermuda at this point.
Florida cold is cold though, right? Like
it is. It's weird
because you live right where the no laying up guys do, and they always talk about how like Florida cold is really cold. So I assume it's something with Jacksonville, huh?
Yeah, it's weird. Like I don't get it. I grew up in Boston. Like I lived in Chicago. Like and Iraq gets wicked cold too, by the way. and so, which I didn't believe. I was like, it doesn't get fucking cold here, and I was like, holy fuck, it's miserable here. It hits you in the bones different. I think it's the humidity in the air. Like it's just, it's like a heavy cold, if that makes sense.
How was Sawgrass? I didn't ask you. We did the show on your podcast previewing it, but how was the tournament?
It was good, man.
I thought Sunday was so boring, and I'm a Scotty fan, and I'm like, I'm trying to figure out my feel, and we'll talk about it as it regards to like the Masters and stuff like that. But I'm starting to have like more mixed emotions about the Scottie Scheffler experience these days.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is like, I swore, I was like, oh, that's it. It's a wrap. Like when he came back on Burns, last weekend on match play, when he was down three, and he ended up going up, one up at nine. I was like, that's a wrap. That's it. Scottie's winning this fucking tournament too. And then he faltered a little bit coming down the stretch. I was surprised.
He missed short putts, which he never does. He never misses short putts. I feel like he's always automatic inside like 7 feet, and he missed short putts. I mean, I guess let me ask you about the match play, because we're going to talk about the Masters too. I think we'll do a little Valero too, but I think a lot of people are interested in the Masters. Did anything that happened at the match play change your opinion heading into the Masters as it regards to Scotty, Rory, and Rahm, and, you know, et cetera?
I think Rory's driver Baby.
Ooh. And you're baby. Tough on him too. You're not a Rory guy at all.
No, no, I hate Rory. I hate him. And that driver.
But you don't bet. You don't bet with your heart. Like you.
No.
You will bet a guy if you think that he is. If it's,
I cashed two Rory tickets last year.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That driver is a fucking problem for everyone else in the field.
Like 375 yard drives.
And it's not even just that one. Like he was just so dialed in for most of the week. And like, I was always in your camp of like, Rahm's the best driver of the ball, period. End of story. Mm. I don't know, man. Rory's giving him a run for his money. It is, that was a fucking display. That was like a salvo across the field to the rest of the players who are going to Augusta. Like, I'm coming and I'm coming to win.
So I feel like the situation that we're in as bettors for the Masters is that you either single bullet Rory, Rahm, or Scheffler, and one of those three, if not all three, are going to be in the mix. So it's just you're basically trying to pick the right one. Or you make a more balanced regular betting card of other golfers. But in my opinion, I think that those three players are fairly deserving of being in their own tier. And I think that's the decision that bettors have to make. And my season preview pick for the Masters in December was John Rahm.
Yep.
And I think I'm going to stick with that as it stands on Monday, March 27th. But I mean, where are you at?
So you're the type to just be like, I made this pick. I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to let recency bias. Well,
has John Rahm done anything that would lead me to believe?
No, I mean, not really.
Between now and December?
No. But what I'm saying
is, he's only won five times between the time that I made the pick.
I know. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of torn. Like, I'm so sick of fucking losing money to the fucking top of the board. Like, I'm so sick of it.
This is the worst golf season I've had. I mean, thank God I cleaned up so hard on football, because I hit a big ticket on Siwoo at like 55-1. Yep. And that's it for me in like 10 events this year.
Yeah,
and
dude,
I don't think I'm alone.
No, I don't even think I hit fucking Siwoo. I don't think I hit a winner.
You're not alone. I think most people are hanging on 0, 1, or 2, maybe, but it's been impossible. And so that's why it's like, okay, are you, as it stands right now, are you leaning towards picking one of those three? Or do you see yourself going down the route of, because what will happen, the other side of not taking one of those three, is I guarantee you there's going to be like 40s and 50s on Zalatoris and Hovland.
I'm good with Zalatoris.
You're good on all those guys.
I'm good on Zalatoris. I guess the question.
He had to change his swing when he got hurt. I think that's the thing that people are underestimating.
Yeah, no, I mean,
that's in an interview. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing. And then I think our boy Joe Idoni put it on Twitter, and I think he's 100% correct. When you saw him miss that little 3-foot putt and he got fucking wicked frustrated and then grabbed the putter and tried to pull the ball back and it like went past on him, he's in like Matthew Wolf territory where he just looks fucking miserable. Like, he wants to be anywhere else in the world other than a golf course. When Joe said that, I was like, oh my God, that's fucking perfect. I don't know, man. I guess that begs the question, like, how many guys do you think can actually win this? Right. So you have the big three. And so
Xander and Cantlay can win the Masters.
All right. Let's pump the brakes on Cantlay. He hasn't done anything in a big event.
His major record isn't as bad as people think it is. He finished top 15 in like 2 out of the 4 majors last year.
Why? He backdoored the top 15? What?
They were a little backdoor. But yeah, he has contended at Augusta. It's not like he hasn't contended at Augusta. Tiger year, he had the lead on the back nine for like a
second. Oh, shit, he did.
Yeah, you remember that? Like a second. But no, I mean, I think that's fair. He's in my group of can win the Masters, though, 100%.
Yeah, fine, 100%. I guess.
He's arguably... of the elite players, in my opinion, the best putter outside of Cam Smith.
Okay.
And we can talk about the LIV guys too. That's a whole other conversation. Why? But okay. So, all right. So outside of the big three,
I think Xander has Xander fucking put his balls on the table.
He played well at Austin. So we'll put Xander in there. You're maybe on Cantlay. I'm a yes on Cantlay.
Yeah.
Are you putting Morikawa or Hovland or Sam Burns or Cameron Young in there?
I guess Burns, but his major record is just you as think fucking Sam bad
Burns
as
Cantlay's. More, yeah, I was going to say.
Cantlay's
is like way better than Burns.
I mean, listen, I would agree with you on that. I don't think Cam Young's first win is going to be at fucking Augusta. I mean, how many times has that happened in history?
Off the top of my head, I want to say like Fuzzy Zeller. I mean, it's
right. Yeah,
lot.
That's it. That's 100% it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, 1979 no. or something like that.
Different era, different sport. That's like comparing like the Browns in 1959 to like the, you know, whatever, the 2001 Ravens. Like, forget about it. It's not the same.
I am way more likely to bet Cam Young to win at Oak Hill than I am at
Fuck yeah.
Augusta, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
I could see that for sure. Yeah. So we're not betting Cam Young. I'm not betting Burns.
Nope.
To me, it's like, I mean, Xander.
What about Spieth? Can win.
Yeah,
Spieth can win.
100%. Spieth is in there. But what's your buy on Spieth? 25?
Yeah, it's got to be.
What is he? Be in the 20s. What is he right now? Let me open this up.
They're gonna
reset too. So I would say like we're talking about the Masters. I wouldn't bet the Masters between now and Saturday, right? No. I mean, odds are probably gonna reset a little bit on Saturday and Sunday. That's what they did at the majors last year. Yep. But yeah, the best I'm seeing on Spieth right now is 18-1. Of the big three, none of those guys at any book right now is over 9-1.
So stupid. It's they're going to have to separate. It's going to have to be 8, 10, and 12, right? You're going to find it some way.
I agree. 100%. And who do you think is most likely to be 12? Probably Rahm, right?
Yeah, Rahm's going to be fucking 12.
It's probably Rahm.
God damn it. Yep.
So...
and I'm going to bet Rahm. So, if that's the case,
if Rahm's 12, I think that's probably where I'm leaning right now. Yeah. And if Rahm's 12, I could fit one more guy in like the 70s or 50s or 60s or something like that. You know what? The one name that we haven't mentioned. What if Justin Thomas is like 28-1?
You need to pump your brakes on him.
I've bet him every year at the Masters for 5 years.
Yeah, we were both fucking Google Gaga over him last year. Like, I was all in fucking
golf course for him. Bones knows that place like the back. It's a good golf course for him.
I get it. And then he was in contention and it sprinkled on him and he lost his fucking mind. And like, I don't know, man.
What's wrong with him? It's been a while. This is a guy that used to clean up in some of these lesser events. I mean, JT had years where he was winning 5 times a year.
I know. It's crazy. And you think about it, like, he got lucky to win the PGA. It took a fucking choke job from Nito. The worst swing ever seen.
But yeah. Yes. I knew the wheels were coming off on that guy. It just happened 18 holes later than I expected. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, I think I'm not going to – he had the bad draw, too. I'm not going to
– Oh, he did have the bad – I forgot about that.
I'm not going to take anything away from JT at the PGA. But you're right. He hasn't been himself for – something's been going on with him this season. Of the elite players, in my opinion, he's been the most disappointing, unless you want to throw like, I mean, do you consider Brooks and Bryson elite golfers right now?
Get out of here. No. First of all, Brooks was on the downturn anyway, with all the injuries. And I don't know, maybe I just got wore out with golf Twitter constantly being like, auto bet 40-1 Brooks.
You know what I mean?
And I've never been a Bryson guy. He's odd and quirky, and I get that.
I kind of like Bryson.
So I just couldn't, like, I actually think, which is going to sound weird, I kind of like live Bryson better, because he finally just seems like he's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to be myself. And before, it felt like he was trying to conform to what he thought he should be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he's more free and open about himself.
But he's also irrelevant.
Right, correct, which blows for him, but it doesn't affect me. Like, I don't give a fuck about him. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, so even I'm just going through the odds board here. I'm just looking at it. And of the guys below 22, the only guy we haven't talked about yet is Cam Smith. So let me ask you a question. Is there anything that Cam Smith or DJ or any live player, because they're playing this week in Orlando at a golf course that
garbage
is
garbage golf course.
Golf course that, from everything that I've heard, is not even good and is not going to look good on television at this time of year and is not... No. Anything like Augusta National, and is not a good preparation for Augusta National. I don't understand why they can't even put them on fucking bent grass a week before Augusta. I don't understand why the hell they're on grainy Bermuda.
Who do you think is in charge of like scheduling this shit on the Live Tour? Do you know what I mean?
I offered my name up for this to be a course consultant, and now, but I don't understand, because the best thing for Liv's brand is if their guys play well in the majors. No.
Yeah, no,
isn't that kind of what they need?
Yeah, but I mean, have you watched this product? I feel like
not really. a little bit for, because I felt like for work I should, but I haven't spent a ton of time with it. How was Arizona?
Listen, I'm with you. I think I watched like a round or two out of the whole last year because it's one, like whatever. Like I don't care. Like I threw some bets down on it because I'm a fucking degenerate and I'll bet on it. Like whatever. Yeah. Like I don't care. I'll go check the leaderboard. Same way when I bet like a college basketball game. I'm not watching the fucking game. I'm checking the CBS Sports app. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care. But what you don't even have to watch the product. What I meant by that was, like, have you seen how they just keep, like, hitting every stumbling block and not, like, pivoting when they need to pivot? Like, who's ever in charge of, like, their business development plan? And
well, a lot of the guy, Atul Khosla, the smartest, one of the smartest guys in the room, quit. And then their head of franchises also quit.
Well, that's so probably a bad flag. You know what I mean?
And I talked about this on the podcast that I did with Wiley, where I was just like, read the room.
That was a good podcast. I like that one.
Thanks.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to do the whole lift thing, but you're telling me that if there's a 50-1 on Dustin Johnson, I can't interest you in that?
Oh, absolutely. No, 100%, but I'm not doing it at 20. And you know me, I love Cam Smith. Cam Smith literally fucking ripped the heart out of my chest when he went to live. I was
fucking upset. Love Cam Smith. I forgot how much you love Cam Smith.
I love Cam Smith.
So can I ask you a question? Because I want to just victory lap a little bit on this. Sure. Were you part of the group that was saying Cam Smith was the best golfer in the world like a month and a half ago?
Oh, wait, a month and a half ago? No. Yeah. No, not a month and a half ago.
Two or three. Maybe, yeah.
After he won the Open.
The whole off season that everyone thought.
No, once he went to live, I was like, fucking Christ, we're done. Like that's it. Like I just kind of softened my stance, and it is what it is. I knew it was going to happen. Like I was with you. I knew this thing wasn't going to be relevant. They were going to fuck this thing. It was a monkey fucking a football. Like these guys had no idea what was important to people who watch golf or cared about golf. Like I don't know.
Am I the only guy that's? I feel like a lot of people are surprised that like Charles Howell and Danny Lee are winning these events. Am I the only person that's like kind of not surprised?
No, I'll put. Well, I think we had Feinberg on a little while ago, and we were betting like random shitty guys. We were like, "Fuck it! If this guy can win, this guy can win. Why not? I'm not putting fucking 8-1 on fucking DJ." The only thing that kills me about Liv is like. Dude, like think about the guys we're missing. Like not the bums and the scrubs and like the
No, I know. And I actually think we felt it a little bit at the match play, right? Like, didn't you feel like the bottom, and I guess the bracket actually did kind of turn out somewhat chalky, but it did feel like the bottom end of guys. I guess you had like a JJ Spahn and Mackenzie Hughes win, but it did feel like you were missing guys like Louis Neiman, and Sergio.
Neiman Smith.
So I love Joaquin Neiman and I'm not ready to quit on that guy. I don't know what he's been up to at WIV too much, but like
me either.
I still think I believe making terrible
promo
talent.
Videos.
I believe in his talent, and I think I don't think he's gonna win a major, but god damn, I wish he had a do-over because he was 23 years old and he had an agent at that stupid agency that had so much with the guy.
I just hope this fucking thing folds in like 18 months. Like 18 months or lower. They figure out some way to let these guys back. Because, listen, the head of the PGA is such a moron. What's his fucking name, Pete? What the hell's his name?
Monahan? Talking about the CEO?
is a Monahan. So this is why I get it confused, because I worked for a corporation that he came from, and Brian Moynihan, whatever it was, Merrill Lynch, and Brian Moynihan was the head, and he was a fucking moron. And this guy came from that tree, from that management tree. And I was no wonder the PGA can't do anything, because it's coming from the fucking Bank of America tree.
So if you're him or anyone at the PGA Tour, and if this folds in 18 months, are you letting them back in right away without any penalty?
Nah, there's got to be some sort of
I think the members would have a fit about that.
Like,
there's got to be a little bit of a penalty, but
absolutely. Like, listen, give money to the charities. Like, do something on that scale. Don't be petty and like.
Or just like make like Brooks and those guys play the John Deere for like 3 years.
That's a punishment. Right? Absolutely.
There you go.
No, definitely. Yeah. But seriously, I mean, don't be petty and make them like come kiss the ring type shit. But be, hey, listen, we get it. You saw a bag of money. We'll welcome you back. Here's the deal. You took that giant bag of money. You need to give X amount to, you know, these PGA charities or charities of your choice, you know, and then we'll welcome you back with open arms.
And then we'll welcome you back, and you don't just like walk back into the elevated events. You have a card based on like DJ should get a fucking PGA Tour card.
Yes.
But you need to play in a minimum of, you know, your AT&T Pebble Beaches and John Deere's. I think they should have to play in a minimum of an amount of those events.
Oh, dude, I hope this fucking happens. We're just being golf nerds and like dreaming of the best case scenario. Like, I don't think there's any. I want it to happen, but do you really think it'll happen?
Not in the next year. I mean, this year is going to play out, but I do think that it's conceivable in the next 3 years that
I don't want to lose 3 years of Neiman and Smith and like the young guys. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it stinks and it's a bummer for sure. But I've never been of the opinion that it's a limitless faucet of funding that they don't care about lighting money on fire. They do.
Absolutely.
They have, you know, they have a much bigger bandwidth for it than any other rational corporation or business in America.
Yes,
but at a certain point, they are going to get frustrated/bored/throw in any adjective you want about this endeavor that I don't really know how you look at this as a victory as we stand here right now. Like it's definite if you judge it on the basis of, oh, this was completely dead in the water of 2022 Riviera, then sure, they're in a better place than then. But I don't really know what the end game is for this product.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, I think they thought, they're like your crazy friend, right? Who comes up with like this weird business idea. He's like, I got it, man. I swear to God, I got it. It's like Kramer, right? Like, I got it, man. I got it, Jerry. I got it. And it doesn't work out because it's a stupid, crazy idea, right? Like, I mean, if you think about it, like the buzz from I don't even know what it is, but Tiger's involved in it. And it's like some weird Top Shot golf type fucking thing that they're doing. And
I don't even think that like the TGL thing is like, it's, you can't even compare it to PGA Tour or LIV or anything like that because it's not trying to be that. It's trying to be something else, but.
And it's got more buzz than LIV.
And it's, you're going to be able to like bet on it like crazy. And people are probably going to do that. So, I mean, I don't know if you ask me right now, what gets better ratings in a year, TGL, which is launching next year, or the LIV tournaments, I think more people will turn into TGL personally.
100% more people are turning into TGL, right? I mean, we're in our own little golf bubble. We talk about it all the time, right? Like, we are what we are.
It's crazy, Capper. I haven't gotten to an argument. This is the first time I've talked about LIV, really. I mean, I talked about it on the Wiley podcast, but I haven't gotten to a discussion with a Twitter person. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know where they went.
The box got turned off, bro.
It used to be like my kryptonite. Like, I used to be like,
it was the worst.
I was bad at it, and I was working on it. And I don't know whether I just like stopped looking for it or they went away. I think it was a little bit of both. But yeah,
the Saudi government was like, all right, what is this? No, we're not getting enough engagements off this. Kill that program, and they all fucking disappeared. Dude, you were bad. I texted you. I was like, you got to stop fucking engaging, bro.
Yeah, I own some of those fools though.
You're still proud of it.
So some of those robots. Yeah, it's
one. I got that AI.
What an accomplishment.
I got ChatGPT.
Okay, So there's nothing. You're telling me right now, Capper, just to put a bow on this. Yeah. They're outside of like a 50 on DJ or what, a 30 on Cam Smith, 35 on Cam Smith. Like those
I'm a weak man with Cam Smith. So I would probably do like a 25 on Cam.
Okay. I mean, there's 22s right now. I think there's,
I know that's why I put the,
I think there's going to be 25s in a couple days, buddy.
I know, man. Listen, I don't want to, but it's almost like, I don't know what a good metaphor is. He's like an ex-girlfriend that I miss so fucking much. You want to go have a drink? I'll come have a drink with you. Yeah, I will.
I totally get it. My question to you is, are you comfortable being overexposed or
It's the Masters.
Saying, fuck it. Yeah,
it's the Masters. I don't give a fuck. Okay. Like I'll overexpose myself in majors. Like I don't care. Like
yeah, whatever. You can always do FOMO bets and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And fucking like whatever. I don't know if it'll make my official card, but you can almost guarantee there'll be a shadow bet of Cam Smith.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just for FOMO. But here's the thing. Here's the other part that sucks is I don't really want him to win. Does that make sense? Like, I love him. I'll probably put a bet on him, but I don't really want him to win.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you a question. What is better for golf? Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters or Cam Smith winning the Masters? That's a good question.
Oh my God. That's a
What's better for golf?
That's a pretzel, I guess, for engagements and like what they want, like clicks and shit like that. It's got to be Cam Smith.
I think it's Cam Smith.
Yeah, it's 100% Cam Smith. People are sick of Scott.
I was the guy that was getting in irrational arguments with people with 5 followers that were telling me that Kevin Na should be on the Ryder Cup team. I have rode for this guy since before he won jack shit.
I know.
I mean, I loved this guy.
I know.
Forever. And I am completely and utterly bored by him as a golfer. And he seems like a fantastic guy, but I don't know if like a Scottie Scheffler run of dominance is what the sport needs right now.
No, especially because he's so fucking vanilla, man. Like, oh my God, what a drip. Him and Burns, like just complete fucking nothing burgers on personalities. Like
at least Rory gives quotes that people talk about. Like Rory's willing to talk about bifurcation and stuff like that and give quotes.
And Rory's a polished public speaker. He's been doing it fucking forever. He knows the points to hit, what not to say, and things like that. Like, and you can tell here's the difference, I think. When Scotty talks, he's just talking. Like, there's nothing going on behind the eyes. He's just like, right? But Rory is like pausing, thinking, calculating, then speaking, right? Yeah. He's like Tom Brady, right? Like, you're not getting like a real answer out of him. He's going to give you enough of an answer to make you go away.
And there's like, I think that there's a lot of, there's more compelling storylines surrounding Rory McIlroy than there are Scottie Scheffler, in my opinion, because right now, as it stands, Rory is, and I'm a total nerd about golf history, but by the numbers, Rory is like, I don't know, the 17th best golfer of all time if he dropped dead tomorrow.
We've talked about that, though. But
he's also honestly one of the biggest disappointments of this generation. If you think about the fact that he hasn't won a fucking major since 2014, so you have this push-pull with Rory that I find incredibly compelling, where on one hand, I mean, he's chasing history and he'll be the first to admit that that's all he cares about right now is major championships. He said it on a podcast, but the question of whether or not Rory is going to win another major championship, I find incredibly compelling, particularly at Augusta. And I think most people, whether you like Rory or not, I think you can agree that that storyline is compelling because he is currently the best golfer in terms of what he's playing for historically. And the storyline of him not winning since 2014, I think, is more interesting, in my opinion, than Scotty getting his second major or Rom getting his second major.
Back-to-back jackets, Scotty. So who else has done back-to-back jackets? Tiger, Jack.
It's been a while, man. It's Tiger, it's Jack,
Is there anybody else?
Yeah, I'm sure there might have been Hogan or something.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what we talk about. When you always say he's like the 17th golf, like, so we don't talk about football players the same way we talk about golfers. We should start segmenting best golfers of whatever. Like if somebody comes up to you and say Sammy Baugh was the best quarterback of all time, you roll your fucking eyes.
Because, well, that's probably only going to raise Rory in your estimation then.
No, it is. And that's my point. So when you say 17th golfer of all time,
I'm counting Ben Hogan and Sam Snead. Right. Exactly.
And that's what I'm telling you. Even as not a Rory guy, I'm like, listen, that's not fair. Like, it's a completely different game. Like, it really is. It's a completely different game. And listen, maybe you want to give it to the guys who played with fucking legitimate fucking wood sticks. Maybe it was harder, but who knows? Like, I don't fucking know. Like, they used to be able to like hop over balls and shit back in like a block of putt. What the hell was that? You know what I'm talking about?
No, like, no, it's true. I think like, right. What is the best outcome for golf? I'm not even talking about the PGA Tour or LIV. What is the most compelling Sunday to you final group? If you could make a dream final group for the Masters, is it Rory? Is it Rory Cam?
Nah, Rory Rahm.
You don't think it's Rory and a LIV guy?
Nah, because the general public doesn't give a shit about the LIV split like we do.
Yeah.
They don't care as much. Dude, if you ask 10 people on the street, what's the big deal about LIV? Fucking maybe two people will know, or they'll be like, oh, a bunch of guys took a bunch of money and went over somewhere else. Like, I golf with guys and they're like, oh, good for him. He took the money. I'm like, but you know what? But they just golf. They don't pay attention to golf. They don't fucking bet on golf. They don't really give a shit. You know,
and
what I mean?
A lot of people that just follow the majors probably don't even like
realize
or care that DJ left. It's just like, oh, it's the Masters. Like,
it's DJ.
You know what I mean, Rory Rahm. Is Rahm like a compelling superstar? Like, is Rahm putting butts in seats?
I mean, I don't know. I think so. He's fiery. Like, and maybe it's just because I was a Rahm guy for so long. Like, I was a Rahm stan. Maybe that's why I fucking, you know, I mean.
And I respect Rahm.
He's compelling. I mean, he crushes the ball. He's fiery. You know what I mean? Like, anytime. This is the problem with baseball was too, right? Like, oh my God, he fucking threw the bat or he celebrated. And it's like, yeah, well, fucking let him get mad on the golf course. This is what people want to see out of people they're watching on TV. They want to see emotion. They want to see fire. They want to see whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, you're not getting that from Scotty.
No, really. God, no, you're not. But actually, I meant to bring that back. Let's circle that back for a second. So you say just not enjoyable. You don't appreciate a little bit of just the fucking like step on your throat and
like a old school golf fan. I think the way that he plays golf is of course I appreciate it. I think that he's relentless. I think he's the best scrambler I've seen in honestly maybe since Phil or Tiger. Yeah, I never feel like he's not. I mean, he chips in more than anyone.
Oh my God, it's fucking insane.
It's always like at the time when he needs it the most too.
Dude, the Masters last year.
Yeah. On three.
On three. At the bottom of three. Yes. Yeah. I had a Cam Smith ticket. Yes, I remember that.
So
I was like, oh baby, we got him here.
But no, like, I'm not betting him at Augusta.
Yeah, I'm not either because we're fucking idiots.
And I like, as a fan, that I like Scottie Scheffler more than I like John Rahm.
Yeah.
I would rather, I can't believe I'm saying this. Would I rather John Rahm win the Masters than Scottie? Yes. I might. Honestly.
It's better for the sport, man.
Because I'm more likely to bet Rahm at 12 than I am Scottie at 8. And well, here's my thing. Rory's the guy that I root for the most. I mean, I love Rory, but I've always had it in my mind that Rory's going to win Oak Hill.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, I don't know if I
win both.
Oh, he can.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't he win both?
But you would go, you'd rather bet Rahm at 12 than Rory at 10.
Yeah. But that's just a personal thing.
No, me too. I'd rather bet Rahm at 12 than Rory at 10.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what was that swing up? What the hell was that thing called?
Full swing.
I get that thing wrong all the time. It was nothing but like just bad fucking beats for me, like a whole bunch of second places up until they showed the Open, and I got to watch.
And that was my worst. You know how much I wanted Rory.
I know. And I was so fucking happy. I got to relive that. I was so happy.
They didn't even do like that good of a job.
I know. No, they didn't. They did. They spent 9 fucking episodes on the PGA Championship and fucking an episode and a half on fucking the Open. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I didn't love that Netflix show. I honestly was planning on me and Wiley were going to do a podcast on it. And I was like, I don't really know if I can fill a podcast on this show. I just like, I don't really have that many takes. I thought it was like a B-.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, it was fine. I tried to get my wife to watch it. And when my wife wasn't even interested in like the backstories, forget about it. Like, she'll buy into any garbage soap opera.
Yeah, that's a good point. They kind of needed to get a different demographic than us.
I was like, all right, well, maybe I hate this. Let me see if I can watch one or two of my wife and let's see if that resonates with her. Nah. Nope, they didn't care.
Can I ask you about a couple other names if you're in or out on them having a chance to win the Masters?
Sure, let's go.
Max Homa?
Yeah.
Yeah, Max Homa can win the Masters, right?
Yeah.
I'm not betting him at 32.
I won't bet him, but he's got a chance. Like, he's proven himself. He's a fucking winner now.
Can Tony Finau win the Masters? I'm saying yes.
Yeah, I think Tony could probably win it too.
Yeah. What about Jason Day?
No.
No? No. I think some people would say yes at this point.
Yeah, lots of people would say yes. Yeah, but I don't care. No.
So if you're not betting one of the big three, the name that you are most interested in between Spieth and Cam and JT and Cantlay and Morikawa and Xander and Homa and Finau and DJ is Xander over Cam.
Xander over Cam.
And over Spieth.
And over Spieth.
So what's your buy on Xander? Because I'm seeing a 24-1 right now on FanDuel.
I just think he looks, I was questioning him coming into match play, but he looked locked in. Like, other than a little bit of the putting, but whatever. Like,
he looks good. I just like, what's the number that you want on Xander? Because I don't see him getting to 30. Do you?
No, it's never getting to 30. Like, listen, the number game to me, one, I live in a state where it doesn't fucking matter. I have to eat whatever shit sandwich I get to take it to me. Right. Like, I just got to eat it. Like, okay.
I think 24 on Xander's not horrible.
No, I don't think that. I think that's a great number. I think that's perfectly fair. He legitimately probably should have won it the year Decky won it. Like, he really should have. So I'm fine with the 24. I like the form he's coming in with. I like the fact that he played well at match play where he hasn't played well prior. Went eye to eye with Rory and lost it on the 18th. Like, give that to me all day. Xander, I feel like likes to compete in the big games. And the win equity's there at 24-1. I'm definitely betting him over Cam Smith at 25 or Spieth at 18. Like, yeah, give me the extra 6 to 8 points and give me somebody who. Good history here and should have won it the year Decky won it.
So I guess final question, are you even looking, like, are you even, and obviously these guys are people we'll talk about for DraftKings and stuff like that, but, and in matchups and stuff, but in terms of winning the Masters, are you even looking at a Sungjae Im, a Matt Fitzpatrick, a Victor Hovland, a Hideki, Shane Lowry?
No. Decky just because of the injury.
Justin Rose?
My God, with you and the Justin Rose, dude.
Tom Kim?
I'll bet Justin Rose first round leader.
Okay. Tommy.
I think Justin Rose top 10, top 15, or top 20 round.
But none of these guys can win the Masters. You don't think Sungjae can win the Masters?
No, I don't.
Hatton?
No, absolutely not. He hates this course. It's very unfair. Don't you remember? Doesn't fit his eye. It's too difficult.
Yeah. Lowry, no.
I like Lowry a lot.
I do too.
But
love ourselves some Shane Lowry.
I know. I don't know if he can win here, though.
I don't think Tommy Fleetwood could win as much as I love him. Could you see a scenario where Patrick Reed is relevant in this tournament?
Oh, my God. The ratings. Listen, maybe not the ratings, but golf Twitter would be fucking electric if fucking Patrick Reed was somehow in contention. But no, I don't think he could be. No. He's not competitive in live events.
Yeah.
He is a wizard around the green, though.
Yeah.
Or at least he used to be. Haven't seen him in a while.
Okay, so dude, your bubble is basically like, you're basically sitting here saying that there's maybe seven to ten guys.
Seven to ten guys can win the Masters. Yeah.
And if you had to choose right now, are you leaning towards betting one of the big three or betting two or three of the other guys in the 20s and 30s?
So the problem is like, I haven't been doing the big three and I keep getting burned.
Me too.
But is this when I transition to the big three and now I get burns? You know what I mean?
At a major, which is probably, honestly, if we're talking, if I'm putting like my statistics hat on, this is actually probably the tournament where you want to pay up for the most elite golfer.
I think I'm going to have to bite the bullet, man. I think I'm going to have to bite the bullet. And it's really going to be tough. Like, because to me, like, I want to win the bet. So people can shame me for like an 8-1 bet on Scotty versus a 12-1. That's 4 placement points. I'll just change the amount I bet. Right. Yeah. So it'll be whoever I like in that big three. Does that make sense? Like whatever. Like, what is the real difference between 8 and 12? Like,
not much.
Not, no, it's not. No, like, whatever. Not much. I'll just change the amount I bet. It is what it is. Yeah, man. Like, it's going to be tough, man. Because Rory's driver this past weekend, oh boy, that set a scare in me. It really did.
So you said Rahm 12 over Rory 12. What if Rory and Rahm are the same number? Then are you going Rory? I mean, you got time. I'm just, you know.
I don't know, man. I don't know what I'd do. I mean, here's the thing, too. You got to factor in, like, the narrative stream. How much pressure is on Rory, right? They're going to be asking him about it all fucking week, all week, all week. And look, like, whatever. Where'd he came in? T3 last year because he was out of it and just had a
unconscious Sunday. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like if I see Rory, like, in the first three holes, if I don't bet Rory, and if I see Rory in the first three holes look like rock solid on the first three holes,
he's got that strut,
weird walk. He's like, he's got it, right?
He's got to get off to a good start, right? That's kind of what you have to imagine is that he's got to get off to a good start. I mean, you could probably plug Justin Thomas in there too and a lot of guys, but okay. I think I'm with you. I think like right now, as it sits on Monday, I'm probably leaning towards betting John Rahm at whatever number he's at, but I'm pretty close on Rory, and I don't think I'm betting Scheffler, but I think I'm going to bet Rory or Rahm to win the Masters.
I think I'm with you, but let me ask you this. So he slept on the lead at the Open, which, you know, means a shit ton to him. And he came out and laid a fucking egg on Sunday.
No, and I know. And I always had Rory penciled in for Oak Hill. And I actually thought that he was going to kind of shit the bet at Augusta because he's going to be the most popular pick. But is Rory going to be the most popular pick, or is it going to be Scheffler?
That's a good question.
Like, who's like ESPN columnist picking? Probably Rory or Scheffler, right?
I don't know. I don't read that fucking rag.
Yeah, for sure. But like, who's
Joe Blow picking?
Yeah.
Scotty.
Scotty or Rory?
Yeah, Scotty or Rory. Yep.
Yeah.
Man, if Rahm goes overlooked, yeah. God damn it. I'm going to fucking...
I don't know if Rahm will ever be overlooked. We're still talking a guy that's won
relatively speaking.
5 of his last 12 right. events.
Relatively speaking.
But yeah, I do think as it stands right now, and we'll have to talk a little bit about the Valero, but nothing's changing with, there's nothing that's going to happen between now that's going to affect the way that people feel about Rory, Rahm, or Scheffler.
Nope.
So in my opinion, because of recency bias, because of how Scotty and Rory performed at the match play, Rahm is the most likely to dip a little bit. And you're right. They cannot put all these three guys at plus 800. I mean, honestly, some of them, there's books where they have three guys at 7-1.
Jesus Christ.
That's fucked up. I hope people aren't betting that.
Please
do not bet that, listeners.
Yeah, I don't think anybody who's listening to this podcast is out there betting that right now. You know what I mean? But what's funny is like, so to put golf betting in perspective, when did Scotty win it? Not API. When the fuck did he just win? The players.
Players.
And he was fucking, what, 8-1? Or whatever.
Oh, no. I thought he was a little higher than that. No?
Whatever it was, right? Whatever it was, super short, right? And my buddy texted me, he's like, "Hey, do you have Scotty?" I was like, "No, the number was too short." He's like, "It's like, are you trying to hit a scratch off, or are you trying to win a fucking bet?" And I was like,
"Yeah,
I get it. We're idiots and snobs. Like, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah."
And we turn our nose up at a 10-1, and people are fucking doing cartwheels in their living room if they hit a fucking, a 17-7 game parlay. Like,
yeah, it's a good bet. And I think for the Valero, I just bet like 6 guys above 100-1. That's not true. I have one or two guys at 30, but then all my other guys, I think, are 100. We have to talk a little bit about this.
That's tournament. Fine. We can, I guess.
did you and Steve did a preview, right? You're not like,
yeah, man, listen, man, we pump out the content.
Yeah. So it's not like you're not betting this. So
no, listen, I bet every week. I shit on the John Deere. I bet the John Deere. Listen, me betting on something is not the bar you want to use on whether it's a fucking good tournament or not.
Did you bet on the Corrales?
I didn't actually. I don't bet the off field ones because I got to do the content neither. For the other ones, and I'm like, I don't have time for this shit. And like, I'm not just betting like the same losers I bet on this side just because they're on a fucking island.
Are you betting Ricky Fowler this week?
No.
Seems like a lot of people are.
Everybody's betting him. Fuck it. The narrative is too perfect to come through. Get out of here. Like, it's not happening. 16-1 Ricky Fowler. Fuck.
When I ran my numbers, he checked a lot of boxes for me statistically. I didn't bet him. I'm not like anti.
No, I'm not anti Ricky too. I would love if he won. That would be a great storyline.
I'm not anti the bet at 20. I would say I'm anti the bet at 16, but for me, I kind of wanted like a 25. So I'm just, I don't have anything against Ricky. I'm not betting him.
No.
Nothing, I assume, on guys like Connors and Hatton and Hideki and Siwoo. I kind of like Siwoo.
So I bet Siwoo. But that's my personal guy, though. Like, whatever. I bet Siwoo. The fact that I missed out
22-1
made me literally, like, my blood boiled. I was like, how didn't I bet Siwoo? I bet Siwoo all the fucking time. Yeah, and how didn't I bet?
Was that Sony Open? Yeah.
Sony. At 22, I'm going to say, listen, obviously, you know, he can win here. And he's, look, fine. He's Siwoo. And he's 22. Do we really think all these guys are going to stay in? Is Hatton going to stay in? Decky's definitely withdrawing, right?
Well, like, I mean, it's Monday night. I mean, maybe there's definitely still time for them to withdraw. I made all of my bets just in case because I was worried.
Me too.
But I don't know. But, I mean, are you, I don't think like Hideki or Hatton are actually hurt. It's just,
I think Hideki might be, dude. Like, me and Steve have talked about this. Like, the distance off the tee for him has really come down.
Hmm.
And it's like, over and over and over again, if you look at the rest of the stuff, like, his numbers have come down, and it's like, well, is that because of like some sort of injury, or because he's trying to take it easy to not aggravate an injury? I don't know. Like, and he withdrew from this event last year from injury too, like getting ready for Augusta, and he ended up becoming top 15, I think, or top 20 last year. So yeah, I'm good with Hideki. No, thank you. But like, if I'm going to bet Siwoo at 22 or Taylor Montgomery at 22, I'm going to take Siwoo. Give me Siwoo at 22.
Yeah, you know, so what I did was, I'm looking at the odds checker grid right now, and I didn't even like love this bet. I wrote up, it's funny, I wrote up Keith Mitchell and Stefan Jaeger.
They both withdrew.
So I wrote this article for Golf Monthly, and Stefan Jaeger and Keith Mitchell withdrew. So I replaced Keith Mitchell with Davis Riley.
Okay.
So I was kind of like, all right. I thought 34 was fine on Davis Riley. He's 24 at that book now.
Yeah, he got steamed down. He's just so bad around the green. That's what worries me about him.
Who else is betting Davis Riley?
He's a DFS darling. People love Davis Riley.
Yeah, it was kind of like process of elimination for me because Taylor Montgomery, I continue to think, is overrated. Yeah. I didn't want to bet the guys in the low 20s. And the only other guys that I was considering, honestly, like, you think Kuchar's cooked? He's fucking unreal at this golf course.
He is. And look, he's fucking good at match play. And just did it again.
Well. Playing well. If I told you I bet him at 35, are you looking down on that bet?
No, no. He was in the mix last year.
He's in the 20s in a lot of places.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Like, whatever, dude. I mean, Christ. I mean, you're the Valero Whisperer. You fucking,
I did hit JJ
spot
at 230-1. Yeah.
Whatever the fuck it was, man. Listen, yeah. I'm not looking down for you any of this. I'm waiting for some long shots from you. Are you on Davis at 40-1?
No, I'm not. And there's 50s now.
You know why? Because he's cursed.
Is he?
Yeah.
Which one? Like, there's a couple, right? You have to keep up with.
The one I deem worse, the one that's not like as entertaining.
Okay, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, Cam Davis and me, we have a storied history.
Yeah, you do.
He was hurt. I
well, he was sick. He was sick. He wasn't.
He was sick.
Yeah, the sniffles.
You know, I did sneak attack play him at the players.
People asked, I know you did. Yeah, I know you did.
People were like, "Oh, did you hop off Cam Davis?" I was like, "No,
absolutely not."
I just stopped writing him in, writing him up in articles because I got embarrassed. I didn't stop actually playing him.
Exactly. I stopped putting out publicly, so I stopped getting flogged.
Yeah, but. Yeah, he's a DraftKings look for me. I mean, I haven't looked at ownership too much, but he's not on my betting card, but he's a DraftKings look for me. And then honestly, I bet big Nick Taylor at 66-1. I thought that was a great number on him. That's already down at 55. And I think the rest of my guys are hundreds. What about this middle tier?
What do you vote Rye at 75?
Like it. Yeah. Didn't make it for me on the outright card, but I like it in the 75, by the way. I'm seeing on the odds checker grid 55s everywhere and 40s.
Well, I only have access to locals. And some of my locals are very lazy and just hang them and leave them. So I don't even rush around.
So you got a 70. Alex Smalley was 110 a couple of hours ago, and now he's 70 everywhere too.
I can still get a 75 on Alex Smalley. Steve was just talking about him.
I don't know why books are so afraid. I feel like there's been so much movement as we record this on Monday night from when I last looked on like Monday morning, but there's been a lot of movement. So
it's weird. It's like, it's funny. Like, and certain books react and certain books don't. It's just, I don't know whatever. They got some algorithm and some actuaries in a basement somewhere getting whipped saying, do we move the number or not?
Some numbers that are still there, I'm going to ask you in or out on these guys, not necessarily for outrights, just in general.
Okay.
Dietrich can't win a golf tournament.
Man, I'm so sick of fucking losing money on Dietrich.
Yeah, I've done
outright. I'm done too. Outright, I'm done. I feel like it's been 2 fucking years I've been putting money on this fucking guy to win offshoot events, Euro events, fucking PGA events, and no thank you. Or like, I'm just tapped out. Like, I'm just at that point with him. Tapped out.
Yep. I think that's fair. I'm not betting him outright either. Did your numbers like Andrew Putnam at all?
I refuse to fall for that scheme anymore. It's like a trap door. The numbers say it's correct, and then you go stand on the X and down you go.
Is it? So my numbers do really like Andrew Putnam.
Yeah, mine
did
too.
Bet him before.
So I bet him multiple times, and no, just don't.
Actually, that's not true. I bet him at Pebble Beach that year when he kind of blew it.
Yeah. And if he's chalk in DFS, run for the fucking hills as fast as you can. Forget about it.
Okay, I can work with that. Yeah. So I don't have anybody here. So I did Riley, Kuchar, Taylor. Have room for one guy in the 50s. I was looking at Putnam, but maybe it turns into somebody else. And then the rest of the guys I have are above 100. So is there anyone else you want to talk about before?
What do you think? Benny Ann's not going to win. So like, what, maybe a positional on him, right? Like, he's wicked good around the green.
Yeah. I like him. I like him as a positional. I like him in DraftKings. And I think bunker play at this course is really important.
Yep.
I think around the green is really important too. So yeah, he's got a really good short game.
What do you think about Cole? Plays really good in Florida. It's going to be Bermuda.
I like Eric Cole.
120-1.
Oh, that's a good number. Maybe that's where I go instead of Putnam. I have room for him. I haven't bet him yet, but he's on my short list.
Yeah.
120, so huh?
Yeah. 120. Yeah. And then Scam Champ is DFS next week. I have no interest in his number this week.
You ready for the nuts?
Come on, give it to me.
Bob Shelton.
Get the fuck out of here. Robbie Shelton, come on.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
Robbie Shelton's like a really good iron player. He's got a really good short game. He's been hitting the ball well, and I think you're getting a good number on him, too.
What number you get him at?
100.
Hang on, let me see. Oh, yeah. All right.
100.
I got him at 110.
There you go. All right. So Bob at 100, and then I bet EVR at 125.
Stop. No. No, no, man, no, that's never works out.
And then Bramlett at 140.
Okay.
You like that more than EVR?
Yes. EVR is a never for me.
What about your Jacksonville boy, Langmuir, at 110?
Steve fucking loves this guy.
I like him this week too. Steve's likes him too this week.
Yeah. Steve likes him too. And I feel like he's been talking about him for a couple of weeks, and it's kind of like the Taylor Moore vibes. He was talking about Taylor Moore for a couple of weeks and then
did either of you guys hit Taylor Moore?
Fuck no, of course not. Yeah. I hit him like a top 20, not the fucking outright.
Yeah.
Cause I'm a pussy.
No, Steve's on to something with Legmurth. I saw that too. I'm betting him at 110-1.
All right, maybe I'll join you boys on that one. Just because I feel like I even told him tonight. I was like, I feel like you've been talking about this guy to me for like a month. Like a month straight. Something's gonna pop.
Yeah, he's been sneaky pretty good. I like what he's been doing with his irons. I don't have anything else.
Got any good TV shows, recos, fucking anything like that? Any culture references you want to talk about?
Well, Succession came back last night.
I haven't watched it yet. My fucking wife was watching some garbage documentary about the Murdaugh murders.
That documentary's good.
No, I don't care about that. Whatever.
Wait, Capper, actually watch that documentary. It's really good.
But I already listened to like a true crime podcast about it. And like two people who like watch the same type of shit I do was like, nah, it's not that good. Like,
I thought it was pretty good. Well, yeah, I mean, listen, it's like a lot of true crime shows. You'll be entertained by it, but it's right. Not anything.
And if I already have all the information, like, do I have to watch it again? Like, no. I'll just space out.
you know the story, but yeah, Succession came back. So you're a Succession guy, right?
Oh, I'm so mad. My wife wouldn't watch it with me last night. So fucking mad. As a matter of fact, that's how much I love you. Tonight was supposed to be the night that we were going to watch it because I only had one podcast.
We're wrapping up in a second, but it's
10:45 on the East Coast. Do you think I'm going to watch an hour show right now with my wife?
Okay, fair enough. But it's electric. I mean,
is the first one good?
I mean, they're throwing 100 right off the bat.
Yeah, let's go.
Greg and Tom probably deserve their own show at this point.
I would 100% watch that spinoff.
Whenever they're on screen together, it's fucking magical.
Yeah, it is. It started out so fucking weird and just stayed weird, and it's still in this like weird space, and I'm enthralled by it.
Ever since ever since the episode Prague in season one, you know, weird underground party.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
I'm in on this show. They can do absolutely no wrong in my eyes. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's honestly, I think it's one of the best shows of the last decade. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I watch a shit ton of TV.
Okay. What else would you put in there? If you're talking,
I don't think I can argue with you. Yeah. I don't think I can argue with you. It's definitely one of the like top 10 shows. Yeah. Yeah, it's very like Shakespearean. I love all the characters. They're all fucked up people.
You know,
it is
Shakespearean. There is a lot of Hamlet in there.
Oh, there's a ton of Hamlet in there, dude.
Yeah.
So on a lighter side, do you have Apple TV?
Yeah.
Have you watched Shrinking yet?
No. Would you recommend it?
It's fucking really good. You gotta get through like the first episode. It's a little heavy at first. You're like, wait, I thought this was supposed to be like kind of like a dark comedy. Get through that first one. It's really sharp writing, like really sharp writing.
I'm trying to think. There was a show on Apple TV I really liked, Blackbird. Did you ever watch that?
What's that one?
Honestly, it's about a cocaine dealer that goes to jail. Oh. And I'm
glad that you associate that with me immediately. Thank you.
So he goes to jail, but he's tasked with having to help a detective make a guy that's in jail with him elicit a confession.
Yeah.
So he's sent to jail with like, he has to get this murderer that's in jail to say for it to get for his own innocence.
All right. I'll check that one out. Cause I like the industry you reco to me was solid. That was good.
Yeah. Industry's so good.
Yeah. Industry's solid. Letters to Edward on Apple TV. Super good.
Check it out. Haven't
super fucking heavy. Like that's one. It's about like a kid who survives a plane crash. His whole family dies on the plane crash with him, and he switches seats with his brother prior to the flight. And then they follow like a grief group of all the people like who just like lost somebody on it, and how the lives interconnect. It's a heavy one. It's a heavy one.
That's going to be depending on my mood.
Yeah. Like you can't watch that one sad. You can't watch that one sad, or you're going to be no bueno.
All right. What else? What you got going on this week? So you and Steve are doing your full-time stuff. And then what do you have anything exciting planned for the Masters?
Yeah. We're giving away a driver with some contest. We're giving away a flight in 3 nights to the Circa to hang out with Sean and Orion and watch the Masters at the Circa pool.
How do you get in the driver? I need a new one.
Don't remember.
Done with my.
Oh, we need to get like list. A certain number of like likes on likes. Subscribers, reviews, subscribers on YouTube, reviews on Spotify, and reviews on iTunes, like new ones.
Isn't that the most annoying?
really is. I'm towing the company line. It's annoying. I hate to ask for it. Like, because listen, I'll go do it for like my buddies and things
I
like that.
I can't believe the people that like just naturally do it every podcast.
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
I've started
even
to do
these
it like
weeks. It's like I know I should like on Masters Week, I know I should like ask people because it's my most listened to episodes of the years. And even so, I'm like, oh my God, this is the last thing I want to do.
Well, right dude, now. And what's crazy is like, so like I got ad reads in the middle of the shit. Like you like because now we do the live stuff. Like
yeah,
if I'm doing an interview with people, like I used to be able to just blow through it and like not even do it. I record it and have my producer cut it in. But now that we're live on like Twitter and YouTube, I gotta fucking do it live.
Okay, so driver. I mean, who do you have on for the Masters?
We'll have Pamela Maldonado on for the best bets, and then we'll have Bearhoff on for DFS. And cool. Then I guess is the fatal foursome is now dead, I would assume.
Oh fuck, man. Listen, you know where I stand. I'm not trying to step on anyone's turf.
Yeah, I got you.
And word was given
to me. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it, Cappers. Good to see you, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
All right. That is it for the podcast. Special thanks to Boston Capper. Special thanks to RickRungood.com. We will be back next week for the Masters. Busy week. We got Kyle Porter coming on. I will do a solo preview as well, breaking down the golf course. Kobe DuBose is back. I've missed those shows so much. Exciting times. So best of luck with your bets this week, and we will see you on this feed next week. Cheers.
If I ventured in the slipstream between the viaducts of your dream, where mobile steel rims crack and the dead center back road stop.